knows what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and we're talking to Moxon Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
You hear that?
I heard that.
That's the horn that's flat. I'm not top drawer tonight, Marco, and my listeners out there. I've got one of those terrible abscess teeth, and I'm on antibiotics and painkillers, so please bear with me tonight, folks. But I wouldn't miss it for the world. We got a lot to talk about tonight. There's so many sightings all over this country going on. There's the bulletin board. But before we get into all that, let's do our shout-outs. Okay, Marco?
Sure, Tom. Go right on.
Hey, Clem Hedge out there in Woodland, California. Thanks so much for sharing your stories and your thoughts about the Patterson film. You know, not everybody agrees with everybody, and that's the reason why we have the show that we have, ladies and gentlemen, okay? You have an idea, I have an idea, my team has an idea. Everybody else has an idea. That's why it's so unique. We're not all alike. Thanks again, Clem. Ray Rosa, best of luck to you on that surgery you're going to have up there in Oregon. You guys remember Ray, him and Shelley up in Oregon when they baited the field. They had sightings of two or three creatures. Best of luck to you, pal. Harry McCormick, I love your theory out there in Virginia about those bears that they set up in Pennsylvania about a week ago, 10 days, remember? They saw those cubs, and they thought it was a Bigfoot. One was actually doing a somersault. But Harry's got some theory. And you know what, Harry? Get in touch with me. I'd like to discuss that with you. Amy Jones. Hey, Amy. She's across the pond over there in London. She's got a new radio show, and I'm going to be on the 21st, ladies and gentlemen. Marco, Bill, and Java Bob will have it on both websites, and we'll be over there across the pond talking with those lovely folk. And thanks for the invite, Amy. Laura Forsythe, nice meeting you guys out there in Kentucky. We'll get those pictures to you as soon as we can. John Moe, hey, buddy, thanks for the support. John bought one of our movies, as you know. He's up there in Tacoma, Washington. Bigfoot Lives has been such a hit. It's just been off the hook, ladies and gentlemen. Janice Malone, thanks for your support out there in New York. I'll be getting back to you real quick, Janice. Alan Connolly, this guy's out in Texas, and thanks for the info. He's doing a new movie out there. I hope things come together for you, my friend. Joey English, down there in Palm Springs. Thanks for your support, Joey. She has the Joey English show, ladies and gentlemen, every day, Monday through Friday, 11:30 to 12:30. I was on her show. One hell of a gal. Lance Bailey, thanks for informing us out there in Texas. Keep that internet show of yours going on, and we'll be seeing you real soon. Ray Crow up in Oregon. Buddy, thanks. I hope you're feeling better. Thanks for all your support and all the help that you're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, do you ever remember hearing the Carey brothers? You hear them on radio? I met Jimmy Carey, hell of a guy. He's going to be coming out on expedition with us. I can't wait, as a matter of fact. One is this guy, I guess he must have been 280, 300 pounds, got one of those tummy ties. Guy's about 150 pounds, looks like a whole new person. Let me give me a little extra kudos and salutations to my buddy Jimmy Carey. Carl and Lydia, down there at Mario's in Palm Springs, great place to eat. Try, ladies and gentlemen, try the veal cutlet parmesan and the eggplant parmesan. It is off the hook. Jerry and Reuben Hine, it's been a long time, my friends, up there in Belmont, California. They heard me on the air last week up at KNEW, and they're a little gun-shy that people don't like to talk on terrestrial radio, especially when it comes to Bigfoot, because they feel that people are going to, you know, kind of make fun of them. Thanks for listening in, Jerry. Charlene up in Sheridan, Oregon, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me talk about her many, many times before. Congrats, sweetheart. This goes out to that new baby. Ladies and gentlemen, she got a new baby girl, 9 pounds, 3 ounces, 21 inches long. That's a big one. Charlene, I can't wait to come up and see you. You know, it's real around the corner. Rob and Ricky Ungaro, right up there in Calgary, Canada. Well, you guys, you know we're coming, and thanks for all your support. Lee and Vi Joyner, up there in Prairie, Texas. Hey, buddy, I miss you talking at me, Lee. I hope that you're going to join us in the near future again, too. Richard Sloan had a hell of a sighting up close and personal out there in Oklahoma. We're going to be checking that out on our next leg of expeditions, ladies and gentlemen. This guy is pretty credible. We'll be talking about him. We'll have him on the show before you know it. Mike and Derek Propp, they're up there in North Calgary also. Derek was out hunting, him and his friends, about 4 years ago, and they ran into a family pod. A family pod, can you believe it? They've seen them. We're going to be investigating that when we're up at Calgary, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll fill you in with all the scoop. Jennifer DiNunzio, nice Italian, another paisan. And Frieda Gerlin, another German gal. Thank you guys for the support. They bought Bigfoot Lives. To all my eyes, ears, and nose all over the world, ladies and gentlemen, kudos and salutations. Well, we got that done today, Marco. Now on a sad note, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to the bulletin board, but yet again, we're going to rebound. We're going to be like that giant spring or a giant ball. When you get knocked down, you're going to bounce back up twice as high, and that's what's going to happen right now. Earlier this week, we're all informed, and those of you who didn't know, Mr. Mike Sells, a good Bigfooter, a good friend of ours of Searching for Bigfoot, has passed on. He's up there. He's out of pain now. He's in our Father's arms and hands up there in heaven. And we've sent out our condolences to the family, and I guess I was probably the last Bigfooter that talked to him when he was alive. When we were out there in Paris, I had a chance to talk to Mike. And I got to tell you straight up, that was one hell of a guy. Courageous, brave, and he was out there. You know, his study for archaeology. You know what? Michael, this show is dedicated to you, my fine friend. Well, Marco, I don't know how you do it. I say it every week, you know, because I'm not feeling well, and you haven't been feeling well for 3 weeks. And my God, you just keep on persevering, and where you come up with these guests is beyond me. I guess I'm looking here at the list. We've had 16 sightings, ladies and gentlemen, this past week. 16 from Wednesday to Wednesday all around this country with people coming forth. And remember, when we first started this show, if we got 3 a month, we were lucky. We're getting a ton. We're getting over 60, 70 a month now, which is totally incredible. And you know why? Because it's people like you. You're sharing your stories with us because we understand it, and we see it as you see it. And when you tell it, we listen. Let's see. Who do we got first on? Oh, we're going up here to Santa Cruz, California, ladies and gentlemen. Now, who would say, you'd say, what the heck's going up at Santa Cruz? There's this guy named Richie Allen. Now, I don't know if the photos that...
Leonard Finn?
Have they been posted,
Tom, I just couldn't get them posted in time. After the show, I'll be working on them tonight to put them up there. There will be a button on the current thing, and it'll have all the stuff on it.
Well, better late than never, as they say. You know what I'm saying? But, ladies and gentlemen, he was out this past August, I believe, and he's got some hair-raising story to tell you, and I saw the pictures, and we're going to put them out there to you guys, and you tell us what you think. It also looks like a lair. But let's go, without any further ado, let's go up to Santa Cruz, California, ladies and gentlemen. Richie Allen, you there, Rich?
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Okay. How you doing?
Fine, fine. How's the weather up in Santa Cruz?
Oh, today was beautiful. It was
really?
Very nice and And the color of the ocean water was pretty ugly. They got that red tide going.
Oh, is that right?
Kind of makes it a reddish-brown color. Anyways,
Well, yeah, first of all, Richie, why don't you tell my audience, okay, out there in this vast world, exactly what transpired, what month, what time of the year it was, and then go right into your story.
Okay. It was late July this last summer, and I was up visiting my friend Jeff, who lives off Trout Gulch Road, which is in the Santa Cruz Mountains located. It's a little bit out of the town called Aptos, which is in Santa Cruz County. And he's about five miles up out of Aptos. It's right next to Nicene Mark State Park, which is all wooded area. So surrounded by big redwoods and oaks, apple orchards.
And I'm glad you're telling everybody this, Richie, because when I think or visualize Santa Cruz, California, I'm really thinking of surf.
You're thinking the boardwalk and all
that
stuff?
You bet.
Steamer Lane.
And I'm just thinking to myself, well, you know.
Oh, yeah, they do have some good surf up here.
Right. So I'm thinking to myself, well, did Bigfoot get on a surfboard and head over there? You know. So,
Hang 10, baby.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Well, so what happened was... I was up at his house and hanging out a little bit with him, and I was getting ready to leave about 11 o'clock, and that's 11 o'clock at night. And walked out his front door, and it's just pitch black up there, you know. I mean, he's up in the Santa Cruz Mountains a little ways, and I heard, I started to wonder what the heck that noise was back behind his house. It was kind of making, what it sounded like was whatever it was just moshing through the forest, basically. You know what I mean? Just charging, cracking branches or whatever. So,
was it bipedal or quadrupedal?
No, it sounded definitely like it was standing up, like it was
someone on two
feet,
or four. 2 feet. Okay. So you can hear it coming down and cracking on the leaves.
I could hear it coming down. It was behind his house. He's got, like, there's no houses behind his house for a ways. You know what I mean? There's plenty of land to roam around up there.
Okay.
Anyways, so I turned around to look behind his house, and what I saw was these two eyes, like, pretty much it looked like they were illuminated. You know what I mean? They were yellow, kind of yellowish gold color. And
how far off the ground, Richie?
I would say, going back there in the daytime and looking at the area, I could say they would probably be between 7 to 8 feet off the ground. Wow. They were definitely off the ground a good 7 to 8 feet.
Okay, go ahead, continue.
But what got to me was the fact that these eyes, it was lit like looking at a human. You know what I mean? Two eyes, like you look at somebody in the eyes, and you know what I mean? In other words, whatever this creature was, it had a face. You know what I mean?
So you could actually see
they were large size. The eyes were big, and they were like glowing, kind of. And there was no light.
Listen.
Go ahead,
Richie. Could you actually see an outline of a head and
shoulders?
Pitch black.
And body? It was pitch black up there. And I know it's rugged. I mean, out behind this guy's house, what would be out there, you know, crunching through at that time of night? I mean, you got me. I turned around. We both looked at this thing for about maybe 40 seconds to a minute, and that's when I just. The hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I was out of there. I ran from my car and took off.
You hightailed out, didn't you?
I hightailed out of there because I just had the feeling that, I mean, I had an eerie feeling. It was giving me a kind of a, I'd say, a bone-chilling feeling, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Because
now, did you go back?
For the thing that got me was whatever I was looking at, it looked like it had a face. Like it was looking at a face of something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like bears have a muzzle.
Sure.
On them,
mm-hmm.
And I don't think bear's eyes glow this color at night. This was rare.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell you, you know, I've had six sightings myself, a few of them up close and personal.
The eyes are what got me.
Yeah, well, the yellow eyes is very indicative a lot, okay? I've seen red eyes, I've seen yellow also.
It was like, okay, have you ever seen that book that Meldrum wrote, Jeff Meldrum? It's
when Something Meets
Science.
Science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the color of the eyes on that?
Yeah.
It was almost identical to that kind of color.
Wow.
A yellowish golden color. And the thing that got me was I knew it wasn't a raccoon or anything like that. It was just too big. It was sizable. You know what I mean?
Well, you said it was up to 7 or 8 feet tall. Now,
yeah,
now,
it was. And
point,
it was.
Did you finally went back and did all this investigation?
So I was pretty haired out. So I didn't, you know, I mean, I told myself actually I wasn't even going to go back up to the guy's house, ever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was creeped out. So when I started talking to a friend of mine, and he said, well, it seems like it's kind of affected you in a way, you know, because I was still so, it was just bugging me. It was eating at me. I wanted to find out what the heck this was. And that's when, you know, I started looking to the side of, you know, could it be? Could it be one of these creatures? And basically what I did was I drove back up there. I finally, my friend talked me into doing it, and I got the nerve to
was
go up
daytime,
there.
Was it daytime, nighttime, afternoon?
It was in the daytime.
Okay.
I would not go up there at night. I didn't want to do it.
Okay.
So anyway, I go up there, and I was looking for a game type trail, you know, a deer trail or a game trail or whatever.
Sure.
Something that had traffic on it.
Right.
You know, going through the forest. This was like a little bit, like maybe a half a mile down from my friend's house.
Uh-huh.
Or not even that, a quarter mile from, you know, from his house.
Okay.
And I, you know, pulled my car over. I kind of saw this like game type trail that went through the orchard. There's like an apple orchard, a creek, then there's Trout Gulch Road, and I could tell that there had been traffic going across the road from the apple orchard area and the creek area, and then went back up the other side and just back up into the forest, which, like, over that ridge is where my friend lives, where we had the
Richie, let me ask you a question. Let me stop you, please.
Okay.
Was the apple trees yielding fruit at the time?
Ready to harvest.
Really?
Yes.
Now,
right around that time of year, it's harvest time for apples in Watsonville and Corlitas and all this whole area. They're loaded with apples around here.
That's great. So my next question is this. Did you find any cores of the apple that were eaten?
Hey, once I saw that lair, I'm getting to the part where I found the tracks. The next day, it was in the day, I found them. So I didn't have my camera on me, so I'll return tomorrow morning early and take photos, you know. So the next morning, I went back there early and took, it was early in the morning. As you can tell, some of those are dark. You lighten them up, you can see some weird, I don't know. Anyways, once I saw the lair, I took a couple shots and I was out of there. I was scared. It freaked me out.
Understandable.
You know, I saw all the classic markings of what these critters do, like the tree bending, the limbs
mm-hmm.
that they bend, they bow over,
mm-hmm.
which is, blows my mind. I mean, that just tells me whatever these things are, they have some kind of intelligence.
You bet. Not only
they know how to build houses.
You bet. Sure. You know,
but
it's very,
you know,
indicative.
It just blew my mind that there's a couple of the photos of the tracks. Like I took one on the top. You can see toes, and there's actual blood. And if you look closely, like study those things, you'll see there was like a couple spots of blood on one of them. I mean,
did
I was there. I saw it in living color. I saw it without taking the picture. You know,
did
I was
you see
there
all five toes, Rich?
Pardon?
Can you see all five toes?
If you look closely at, there's like a top view of one. I think if you count them, I'm pretty sure there's like four to five toes, yeah. You have to look at the one, I don't know if you checked them out or not, but you have to, pretty much, yeah, I think there's five toes, four to five toes.
Okay, all right. So you saw that you took the pictures of the tracks that it left behind. Did you measure the strides?
In those pictures, if you look at the forest shot, there's like a traffic way how it goes up into the forest. Like you could see the actual indentations of the stride, and I believe it was, I definitely could tell you it was more than, seemed like more than 4 foot, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It seemed like a pretty wide stride. I didn't, like I said, I was pretty scared, you know what I mean? It gave me the willies.
Well, understandable. I totally understand.
I commend you guys for going out and doing what you're doing, I tell you that much.
Well, thank you so much, Rich. Let me tell you, you're going to hear from the team the latter part of the show here tonight. What do you think that you've learned on this whole thing?
What I've learned is basically that you need, that people out there need to have an open mind as to what's going on. Really. You know what I mean? And I've found that a lot of people nowadays are starting to, like, open their minds. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure. You know what causes that? You know what causes that, Richie? It's called information.
Exactly.
Being made aware by shows like ours.
Yeah.
Out there telling the world and not making fun of people, okay? And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. I mean, actually, a lot of my friends around here are really, really not too many of my friends around here made fun of me. They actually took me really seriously. There's only one of my friends, which is a really close friend of mine, who made fun of me, and actually that's because he used to work for Davy Tree. You know who Davy Tree, have you ever heard of those tree companies?
Yeah, they cut trees and all that.
He's worked for both of those companies, and I've said, hey, dude, come on, tell me, have you ever had anything weird like that happen? Because you're out in the sticks, you know, you're up cutting wood all the time. You know, that's what the guy lives on.
And what did he say?
He said, you know, I don't really recall, but when he saw that, like, hut thing that I have a picture of, it was like, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
There's, like, a hut. Okay, I know you've seen that. It's a lair-type looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's seen those up there in the mountains, up, like, above, like, Lexington Dam or somewhere up in there, Redwood Estates.
Wow.
Do you know any of that area pretty good?
Well, we're going to get to know it, okay?
You guys should come down.
Yeah, we're going to come out and
study down here.
Okay, we really will. I want to thank you for taking the time and being with us here tonight. And you know what? Just mute yourself out. Listen to the rest of the stories.
Great talking to you.
And my condolences also to your partner.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. God bless you, my friend. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Richie Allen from up there in Santa Cruz, California. Pretty hair-raising situation. Now I'd like to go up there by north of Fort Bragg. We have Mark McKinsley on. Mark, you out there? Well, I guess Mark didn't make it.
Have him push the 6 button, Mark.
Mark, press your 6 button, son. Mark, unmute yourself. Press the 6 button on the keypad there. Okay. Well, Mark's having a little problem with the 6 button. Let's go out to Tole, Oregon. We got Joey Lowell. Ladies and gentlemen, wait till you hear this story. This is just going to totally blow you away. We're going to be meeting Joey up there in Oregon later part of this month. Joey, you're out there?
I'm out there, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for joining and being here on the show with us tonight. You know,
you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. You know, you've got so much to tell, and Marco Bill was just so enthralled when you guys talked today. Although when Marco Bill gets going, I'll put him up against anybody. I asked him one time, what time is it, Marco? Next thing I knew, he built me a watch. But he's that kind of guy. He can talk on forever and ever. That's the reason why he's the king of radio. First of all, he sounds like a real great guy. Oh, he's a super guy. He's my brother, you know, my brother from another mother. In any event, Joey, I'd like for you at this point in time, and forgive me, I'm a little under the weather with all this medication on this abscess for this tooth. But tell everybody where you're from up in that area, how long you've been doing what you're doing, and get into the meat and potatoes because they want to hear some juicy stuff.
All righty. Well, my name is Billy Lowell, and I'm from Salem, Oregon. And I've been looking for Sasquatch for the last 15 years. And I'm proud to say that this year I was able to glimpse the Sasquatch. And after a couple of minutes after I glimpsed it, it started to tree knock. And I got to tree knock back with it for a while. And this happened up above Detroit Lake, about 40 miles up above Detroit Lake, at a place called Tule Lake. And what got me up in that area to begin with was I was reading some old reports, and there was a couple of hunters up there in 96 that actually heard some horrible screams that scared them really bad. And so I decided to go up there and just check out this area, and it was at a gravel pit, actually. And I went up there, and I didn't expect to find anything, but, boy, I found a bunch of evidence up there. I found a one pushed-over tree with a partial print at the bottom. I found two prints that were on extremely hard ground. I couldn't get any casts or anything of them, but they were 16.5 inches long and 4.5 inches at the ball. I found two fir trees that were about 14 to 16 inches around that were snapped off, and the upper portion was pulled down into a triangle position, and it was just snapped completely off. And that was about 8 feet high. And as I was moving along around in there, I also found a tree that had the bark stripped from about 14 feet down to the bottom. And what looked like claw marks from fingernails were also on the bark of the tree. So when I found all that, I decided to go up there and spend some time and see if I could get anything to come around my camp. And so I got dropped off. That happened on August the 5th of this year, and I went up to Tule Lake on August the 19th. I was dropped off by my wife. I was there by myself with my little dog, Sissy. And the first night, after I set up camp and everything and got all cozy and all that, I was just listening to my music and just doing the natural thing that campers do. And after I went to bed, the next morning I found out that I had a visitor. I had a great big log that I was using as a table. It was actually a cut-off stump. And the next morning when I got up, I found that halfway into my fire. And I don't know if the Sasquatch was trying to put wood in the fire or not, but I was thinking that that's probably what it might have been doing, because it probably was watching me that night, you know, adding wood to the fire every so often. And so I figured, okay, it's got to be around here somewhere. So the next day I started going and looking around for evidence and hiking and having a great time. It was about 85 degrees. And I didn't find any real good evidence in that area, but it's really, really heavy thick timber. And so I just had a great time moseying around and everything. And while I was doing that, I did have the feeling that I was being watched and followed. But because everything was so thick, I couldn't see anything. So I went back to camp, and that night I, you know, was doing the same thing that I was doing before, and everything, and nothing happened. You know, where I heard anything or saw anything that night. Got up on the last day, went for a long hike, came back around 4:30 in the afternoon, went in a tent and laid down and went to sleep for a while, and I got back up about an hour and a half later, and in about 15 minutes, my wife showed up to pick me up, and I wasn't ready as usual, but as I was sitting there talking to her, there's a great big hill that's across the road from my camp, and it's really heavily timbered, and I was looking up on that hill, and that's when I saw the Sasquatch move from right to left, And I said, oh, boy, I just seen something real big and hairy just move from right to left up there. Everybody be quiet. So we were all quiet, and after about 4 minutes or so, sure enough, we hear this tapping and wood-on-wood knocking. So I started wood-on-wood knocking back with it, and it started duplicating everything that I did. If I tapped three times, it would tap three times. And I did this for probably 4 or 5 minutes, and then I thought I was the slicker of the two, and I thought I'd sneak up on it and see if I could get a look at it. And unfortunately, it was probably watching me the whole time, and I was just so hyped up about being able to do that that I didn't think about that. But anyways, it saw me and stopped happening. And then as I was glancing up the hill, I saw the silhouette go by a tree, the dark silhouette of it go by a tree, and then it was gone. But I do believe that they are up in that area, and with the evidence that I found earlier on the 5th, that was telling me that they are in that area at least at that time of the year. So I plan on going back up there next summer and camping out again and seeing if I can't get some more action. I also had some action up there by where Charlene and Sheridan or Sweetholm has her sighting area. And mine was a little bit farther down the road in the Van Duzer corridor. There was a guy named Rocky Bounds that had a sighting up there and when he was elk hunting, and it is documented in Tom Powell's book, The Locals. And so I went up there and was checking it out, and I found broken trees and twisted off tops and really old footprints. And so I started going back and periodically checking, and I would find new stuff that was broken. And while I was there, I noticed that there was absolutely no animal life whatsoever up there. There was no birds, there was no chipmunks, no squirrels, no deer, no nothing. And I thought that, you know, that was kind of strange, so I figured that they might be in the area. And
let me stop you there. Joey?
Sure.
Let me stop you there. That was a very astute observation, and I'll tell you why. Many times we get out to an area, you don't hear the birds, you don't hear the squirrels, you don't hear nothing move. And the reason being,
right,
these creatures are in the area. You hit it right on the head. Very good. Continue.
All right. Well, anyway, I went up there and took my sister-in-law up there and my two niece and nephew, and because they wanted to see it, and they didn't believe me, and so I took them up there and was showing them the twisted-off trees. And this was a nice day, but it was cold, and there was still snow on the ground in patchy areas. And anyway, we went up there, and I did a Sasquatch call, and I instantly got a return call. And this was from what I think was a male and a female because of the difference in the voices. The one voice was a really, really hard, high voice and powerful, and then the other one was a high-pitched voice. And, I mean, you can just tell the difference from male and female from it hollering like it was. And I got the feeling that the only way I can explain this is that I got the feeling of we're coming. And I think that my sister-in-law got the same feeling because she wanted to leave immediately. So because it was getting dark and I didn't know, you know, what they were going to do, I decided that the best thing to do was to probably leave. And the reason that I got that feeling is because I think that they might have thought that I was one of their young ones that was in trouble. Because as I was up there before, I found smaller prints up there. And so after this happened and we left, I went home and I called, I emailed Oregon Bigfoot, and I told them what happened. And the next day, Autumn Williams' cameraman called me. And his name is Mike, and he wanted to go back up there the following week. So we went ahead and scheduled that, and we got up there, and I said, hey, I can't promise you we're going to see anything or hear anything, but I can definitely show you the twisted off trees that I found, and hopefully we can find some footprints. And so we proceeded up there, and I showed him the trees that were twisted off and broken, and we did find some footprints that I had found the prior week before that were still there. And sorry about that. That's my phone quickly. But anyway, we also had some new prints that we found. And we went up there, and he started to tree knock. And instantly, he started getting reply tree knocks. And I said, see, I had a feeling they were up here. So he kept doing that for a couple minutes. And I, again, tried to get as close as I could to see the creature. But, again, they were smarter than we give them credit for, and it stopped tapping. But we went ahead and went up there and looked around some more, and we found all kinds of different footprints. The smallest one we found was 4 inches long, and it was the same 4 inches across at the ball also. So it's kind of a, it didn't look like a, I mean, it looked like a human shape, but not a human footprint, because it was just, it was looked like it was a flat foot. So, and I don't think any little kid's going to be up there in the snow walking around barefoot. But anyway, that area up there was very active for a period of time. And then the last time I went up there, they did some logging where I heard the calls come from. And so I started looking around, and I started noticing that the animal life was back in there. So I knew that they weren't around, and I didn't know exactly where they were pushed to until I went with Charlene up to her site, and I noticed that the same things that I was seeing there, I was seeing at her site. She thought that there was just one Sasquatch in her area, but I pointed out that there was way more than that. From the amount of bedding that we found and the amount of trees that were broken, there are some berry trees up there on her site. I don't know what they're called or what brand they are, but they were definitely feeding on those, and feeding me exclusively on those because we found scat nearby. I mean, just huge, huge piles. They looked like almost as big as, actually, they were bigger than horse and cow, but it was all a complete berry mixture. There was nothing else mixed in with it, so I could tell they were definitely feeding on these.
Was there bear? Hold on, Joey. There's a few questions I want to ask.
Yes.
Is there bear in the area, indigenous to the area?
There are bear in the area, but I didn't see any signs of any bear. I didn't see any bear tracks or anything like that.
So what's up there, black bear or brown bear?
Just black bear as far as I know.
Okay. Now, the other question
the only,
I got, time? I listen to you. You listen to me now, okay? That's how we work.
Okay.
When you talk, I listen. When I talk, you listen, okay? That's the game.
All right. Sounds good.
Here's the deal. All these prints that you saw, did you make casts of them?
We could not make any cast of the prints that we saw. For one, we didn't have any casting material with us at the time when we went up there. I didn't think that we were going to be seeing anything because she just said that she had seen a Sasquatch, you know, a while back in this area. But these footprints that we had found and this bedding area was all in really thick, heavy grass. But you could see because of the weight of the creature that it made the footprint impatient into the grass. So you could definitely tell that it was a footprint of extremely large size. We measured them. Most of them were around the 16-inch length, but the biggest one that we saw was 22 inches long that we measured.
You still there? I guess we lost Joey. Somebody pushed his button on this thing.
Am I still on there?
Yeah, you are. Here we are. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, Charlene took pictures of all of this stuff. I don't know how many of them came out. I have not seen them, but I do believe that area is still active. I did find, I went up about, maybe less than a quarter of a mile up the road from her sighting, and I found some stick formations. And there was about 20 of them in all, and they were leading from, when I first found the first one, I didn't know exactly where it was pointing to, but then I started looking around, and I started finding more of them. And I found that they were leading from down in the valley to up this hill where we were. And then there was a tree that was snapped off. It was probably about, maybe 8 inches around. And it was snapped off about 8-9 feet up. And then the top half of it was 10 feet away, up 15 feet into these trees, and was pointing in the direction would be north. East, I do believe, and so I started going that way, and there was a little tiny skid road that was down there, so I started walking down there, and I came to a big stand of trees, and boy, that's when I saw a whole bunch of these things, and I started following them, and it led to a nice game trail, and it went down into really thick, heavy vegetation into a gully that there you can't see from the top of the hill. It's just too thick.
Okay,
and
time. Stop, Joey, stop there.
Okay.
You saw a lot of tracks. Is that what you said?
I saw a lot of, on this game trail, it went down into a gully, and there was a lot of trees and everything that blocked out the gully, so you couldn't see down. It was really thick.
I
started to go down into this gully.
Okay, but you said before you hit the game trail, the other game trail, you saw a lot of those, were those tracks that you were talking about?
Oh, no tracks. It was a whole bunch of those stick formations.
Okay, good. Okay, I just wanted to make sure, and I wanted to make that perfectly clear. Now, another thing.
Okay.
Because I'm sure a lot of the audience is out there saying, this guy's been researching Bigfoot for 15 years. Have you casted any prints at all in your tenure of 15 years?
I myself have not. I don't have any of the casting material. And with all of the scientists and all that saying that, oh, people will fake them and all that stuff, I just basically decided to not worry about doing that because basically all the stuff that everybody's already done, nobody seems to want to accept. So, basically I was just going up there and trying to find it myself, and then once I found and located a good area where they're at, that's when I wanted to contact people with the stuff to do all that, and then maybe we can come in and maybe we can get the proof that we need. So that's why I contacted you, and hopefully we can prove that.
You know what? And maybe we can, and we'll be out there towards the end of the month. And Joey, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I know sometimes it's very hard. And guess what? We're going to be bringing a lot of Plaster Paris for you, and you'll have it there next
right.
time that you see any prints, okay?
Well, that's awesome. I can't wait for you guys to get up here.
God bless, and you have a good turkey day next week here.
Okay, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Joey Lovell up there in Oregon sharing his stories. He's been doing it for about 15 years, long time. But that, you know, it's very common that here these guys, when we were out in March, you know, these guys were researching Bigfoot 9, 10, 12 years. None of them ever cast a print before in their life. They saw them, never casted one, but we saw it happen right out there because we asked them. And here it is again, just coming to fruition. Great stuff here tonight. Well, you know what, guys? By the way, towards the end of the hour, we're going to be talking to my co-host from KNEW, Daryl Scotty. You guys have all heard of him. He's like that bull in that china shop. Boy, when he gets going, he don't stop. But he's on location tonight, live. He's up there at Ola, up there at the Bistro. You know, they have those three great restaurants. The one in Burlingame, the one in Belmont, and the one in Carmel is the one I really love. But the food is off the hook. And we're going to be talking with him just in a little while. But let's go out now to Four Corners, New Mexico. We got the team out there with J.C. Johnson. We've got Dave Ortiz. We've got the chief is out there. I think it's a running bear or something, and a couple other guys. Tommy, you out there? TJ, you there?
Hey, sure am, Dad. How are you?
Well, like I was telling you at the top of the hour, and I hope I make it through the rest, I'm heavily medicated because of this abscess tooth. But, I'm here. That's the main thing. Fill the audience in. What transpired out there?
Well, before I do that, I got to get a shout-out to John and his crew over in Farmington who took great care of us today. Farmington is an amazing place. The Navajo Nation, the Lukachukai, the Chuscas and the Carrizo Mountain Ranges are just mind-blowing. I mean, the vastness of this area where this creature lives and dwells that's protected by these Navajo is, like I said, just crazy. We pulled in here. It was a Friday last week. We went right out. You know how we roll. We get right in. We got to do what we got to do. We got right to a hot spot that JC had sent us to where there's a creature that the locals in the area call Little Joe, or Big Joe, that comes over to the ridge line and sees those posts. So we set up our thermals and our infrared, and, you know, we went right for doing what we do best. Well, we didn't get no action that first night, so our host, JC, says, hey, you know, I want to take you up to where I've taken a couple pictures of the creature. And we went up there and we did that. From there, we went right back down to Teesmo's post and checked our cameras and made sure we didn't see any, they weren't tripped or anything. We had a few pictures on there. We won't go over that yet. We'll save some of that stuff for you. Now, the interesting night was when we went to the 9,500-foot elevation up in the...
That's where you got the altitude sickness, right?
Correct. Up in the Lukachukais. We heard some knocking. We can't be 100% that we heard any vocalization, but we did hear some knocking. Up there, that's Bigfoot country. I'm telling you, it's thick ponderosa pines, all the vegetation it needs to eat, berries.
Elk, deer.
You got elk, deer. It's everything. It's a playground for this creature up there.
I guess because of the vastness too, huh? All those caves.
Yeah. Oh, forgot that cave system. I don't know what mountain range this was on. I'm sure they'll tell me later again. But we got deep into this cave, and inside this cave, before we got out the other side of the mountain through the first vent hole, we found corn husks and corn on the cob that was just laying there and eating. Now,
wait. Don't give me the lick of the lollipop until you tell me the whole story. So what was the elevation there?
About 5,000 feet.
About 5,000 feet. Is that JC on the other line?
There is.
Okay. I was going to say, since he's answering your questions, maybe we should have him on the line. But nevertheless, so 5,000 feet, and where was the corn coming from? Down below in the valley?
Now, there's some farms about three-quarters of a mile away. It's in Fruitland, New Mexico. And it's a heavy agriculture area near the river. And we've explored this area before, and we've found a lot of corn and corn husks. And I think they pass through there during the season when the sweet corn's up, and then they move on. But it was nice to have the crew explore these caves with us and find evidence like that.
JC, here's the big question. Was an abundance of corn husks and ears of corn, or was it just one or two?
Probably three or four, and this was in the main cave that passes through. The entire complex on this mound is filled with vents and fissures and caves throughout. We've explored it extensively, and a lot of heavy corn droppings, you know, as far as the husks and corn stalks and so forth.
So the big question is, could a cougar, could a javelina, could a bear, if there are any indigenous to that land, grab a hold of these corn husks and these ears of corn and travel up 5,000 feet and eat them in the cave?
Well, typically I think corn is the last thing on a bear's list to eat, like the very last thing. The only other thing we could think of, there is a fox population there somewhat, but as far as them picking up the corn and dragging it three-quarters of a mile away to the caves wouldn't make sense. We've also had a sighting in that area inside the cave that they went into. We had a sighting back in October of last year of two upright individuals moving back and forth in the cave, and the sun hit them just right. They had glowing red eyes, and that's kind of one of the reasons we brought them over to the caves, just to check it out.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, are any of the other guys, if they're not too tired, would they like to share some of their experience with our audience?
I'm still in awe over what happened to Mr. Steve-O the other night, because I was on the other side of the truck, and he about jumped out of his boots. I think Joe came down and paid us a visit. We've got some really good circumstantial evidence and some just one-on-one type activity to kind of back this up. Here's Steve-O.
Okay, good. And ladies and gentlemen, hey, Steve-O, hold on just 1 second. I just want the audience to know if you heard what JC said about Joe came and paid us a visit. That's what they call it up there, either Big Joe, Little Joe, whatever kind of Joe. They put that nomenclature on the creature. How are you, son?
Good, Pop. How are you?
Well, not too good, but I'm making it. Now, what's this? I understand that you almost got scared out of your boots. What did he say?
Oh, my goodness. Well, what it happened was is that I'll have Brian explain what he saw, but basically he saw something obstruct a light and didn't bother telling any of us. But he said, maybe we should wrangle up the night vision. Because our whole plan there, as our host has told us, is that if we build the campfire and we sit around the campfire and talk, this big Joe will come in and pay a visit to us. So Brian sees this, without telling us, kind of suggests we start pulling out a couple of the pieces of equipment. And as I was going to the front of the truck, all of a sudden I heard this huge crash in the brush. I mean, whatever it was no deer. We've heard the cow in the brush, too. And whatever it was, it was thunderous. And then I heard, like, a couple of big thumps. And, frankly, it was to my back. And I didn't know if it was coming for me or it was going back in the brush. Anyway, I wasn't taking any chances. I went to the back of the vehicle, turned around, and turned to the guys and went, holy moly. So...
Welcome to the world of Sasquatch just one more time.
And you know me, I'm not normally one to jump out of my boots like that.
But it just
caught me so off guard, and it was only probably 20 feet behind me. And the next day we did take a look in the area, and what we had surmised was that whatever it was observing us from just behind the tree line in this little clearing. And we had found some a broken branch, and we had found some hair on the end of the broken branch, and we're bringing that back home with us.
Fantastic, fantastic job, well done. How's Jimmy doing?
Jimmy, where is Jimmy? There he is.
Hey, Pop, how are you?
Well, my big question is, how are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, hanging tough, baby.
Well, that's all that matters. I what'd you experience here that you could just want to give us a little lick of the lollipop? Because save the good stuff. We got that coming up on Sunday. For KNEW.
Well, I tell you, it was a blast going through that cave. I mean, that was unexplored territory. It was dark. There were levels. There were tunnels. You know, we found several types of animal tracks in there. That was pretty exciting. Probably the most exciting thing that I experienced out here was all the stories. I mean, there's so many sightings and encounters that happen out here. It was just great to hear all the different stories. We have people stopping us on the street telling us stuff.
Amazing, you know, isn't it?
It is. I mean, people will come right up to you and just start telling you their experiences, and that's what I really get into.
Yeah. Is the Indian chief there?
He's on mute.
He might be on mute. Leonard, if you're out there, Leonard, push the 6 button and come on in.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes,
can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Leonard. Yes, yes.
Hey, hello. How's it going there?
Fantastic. Let me just tell everybody who you are. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Leonard. He's been one of our hosts and our guide out there. Very knowledgeable man. He is. Are you one of the elders out on the Navajo reservation?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I surmise much. And I got to tell you, you've taken care of my boys like they were your own. And I
can't they're a bunch of good boys, you know. They know their business, and I'm sure glad they came around and I got to know them.
That's fantastic. Like we talked earlier, I can't wait after I go to the Apaches. We're going to come up and see you on this next leg. And one more time, I just want to really thank you. Why don't you guys just listen in? We're going to go live right now, you guys, out to Ola Restaurant up in Belmont, California. Daryl, are you on? Let's see if we can get Daryl on. Well, we're trying to get Daryl up there at Ola Restaurant. He's going to be live with us tonight. Marco is calling in on the other line.
I don't have any calls on the line.
That line, okay.
No.
Well, Daryl, we're putting a shout-out to you, buddy, and I wanted to give you this last 6 or 7 minutes, but apparently you're not out there. But that's okay. We got Leonard out there. Leonard, you still there?
Yes. Okay. I'm still here.
Leonard, for our audience's sake out there, why don't you tell some of the hair-raising stories of the creature out there on the reservation? Would you mind doing that?
Well, the stories that I hear from the elderly, these creatures and sightings have been going on since the early 1800s, and nobody's really paid any attention to them because they didn't want to bother them, and the creature doesn't bother the people. So they kind of lived, you know, in a mutual agreement, you know.
In harmony with each other.
Yes, yeah, or harmony, right. So,
Have you had an encounter yourself, Leonard?
Yes. Last Thursday, as I was driving into Farmington, that's our local town, there's a river going by. I saw this creature crossing the river. It was midway across, and it wasn't no deer or no bear. And I don't know how a bear walks or what a deer does when they're in the water. But this creature was kind of like fighting the current as he was crossing, because the way he was swinging his arms above the water. So that was really a Bigfoot creature. So
it was bipedal. It walked on too?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Wow. Did you go out later on and go check to the end?
Yeah. Me and the crew, we went out there to look around, but we didn't see no evidence right then.
Wow.
You still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what happened. And there's some other sightings that I've encountered, but you know, there's just what I really want to do is really take a good picture of one or a video or come face to face with one, and you know, that would be something to experience.
Oh, you bet. I have no doubt in my mind.
Yes, because there's a lot of sightings and a lot of stories up in this area. It's kind of a hot area, too, so. And I'm just waiting. Maybe the crew will come back again this summer or whenever they're ready.
Oh, they will. Trust me, they'll be there. They'll be there, and I'll be there with them.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I'll be there with them. I want to thank you so much for the hospitality and all the talents and your experience that you bestow with my boys, because that means an awful lot. They can get more knowledge talking with somebody like
that. Yeah, they're a good bunch of guys that I've ever, you know, worked with, and I don't mind them coming back again. My house is their house, so.
Oh, God bless you.
They're welcome, so.
That's fantastic. You know, and is Dave around, Dave Ortiz? Dave, you out there? Well, I guess he's not, but I publicly want to thank Dave Ortiz. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another scholar.
Oh, I'm here.
Element. Dave, are you there?
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you, Dave, from the bottom of my heart, what you've done for my team. You are just one hell of a guy. You really are, my friend. And there's not many like you out there, and it's people like you and Leonard and JC and all these other fine people that we've met all over this fine country. That's opened their doors and arms and their homes with their food and lodging, and it means so much to each and every one of us. I know that I wasn't out there on this one trek, but we'll see each other down the road. I guarantee you that, Dave. And I want to thank you again.
Thank you. Yeah, these guys are great. I just enjoy every moment just hanging out. And
hey, Tom, I do have a caller calling in now.
All right, put him on. Excuse me, Dave. Let's see who we got.
Food and lodging. Six, area code 650, you're on Bigfoot Live Radio.
Yes, Richard Beal.
Hey, Richie, how are you?
Hey, good. Just wanted to call in. We've got Daryl over at our restaurant, and he's trying to get everything set up, but he's having a little audio difficulty, but he's got it all handled for next week, so he's looking forward to being on next week live from Ola in Belmont. So I just wanted to tell you I'm enjoying the show.
Well, wait a minute. Hey, thank you. Let's just give a little shout-out before we close. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Richie Beal. He's married to that wonderful gal, Denise Beal, who had that concept, and her interior decorations are just off the hook. But I got to tell you, more than that, you've got to get out there and sample the goods. The food there is totally off the hook. It's plentiful, it's tasteful, and it's not the run-of-the-mill. That's the reason why they call it Mexican Bistro. Richie, thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, thank you. We enjoy your show, and we'll hopefully be live next week, up and running in Belmont with Daryl.
Oh, that would be great.
All right,
fantastic, Rich. Say hello
thank
to
you.
Denise for us.
I will. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Well, Marco, Bill, there goes another one. You out there, Marco?
Yes, I am, Tom.
Okay. I thought maybe I caught you sleeping, son of a gun.
No.
Well, that's okay. That's one more in the chapters of the Bigfoot. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Tom. Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We brought them together, reason for the facts.